So, as a learner, you're probably always looking for the absolute most efficient way to absorb new skills, right? Like, without getting completely bogged down in all the unnecessary jargon.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone wants to skip the busy work.
Exactly. And today's deep dive focuses on something that promises to do exactly that. It's a fascinating source, a complete guide and course syllabus published in April 2026 by an academy in Hyderabad.
Right, Vibe Coding
Yeah,
Masters.
Vibe Coding Masters, which is a subsidiary of Brawley Academy. And they make this claim that is honestly kind of terrifying or
Oh, boy.
maybe entirely exhilarating, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, it really shakes things up.
It does. They claim that the hardest part of building software is just, well, officially obsolete. You no longer need to spend months memorizing Python or JavaScript syntax.
You don't even need to write the logic line by line.
Right. According to this curriculum, you just need, quote, vibes.
Vibes. It's such a wild term for something so technical.
It really is.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to decode exactly what vibe coding actually is, why it's being positioned in 2026 as this direct replacement for traditional manual programming, and most importantly for you listening, whether you actually need a deep technical background to build software anymore.
Which is the million-dollar question, right?
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. Because a formal, structured educational syllabus that teaches you how to code with vibes and natural language rather than, deep syntax, it sounds almost like a parody.
It does. It sounds like
And
a joke.
that.
But validating your curiosity here, this isn't just some trend piece. This is a rigorous curriculum.
Yeah.
Yeah. The terminology, like vibes, it kind of masks a very serious shift in how the tech industry operates right now. We are literally looking at the formalization of a new era.
How so? Like, what's the core difference they highlight?
Well, think about it. The tech industry has spent the last, I don't know, few decades demanding that humans learn to speak the language of machines, right?
Right, learning exactly where to put the semicolon.
Exactly. You had to conform to these rigid mathematical structures of compilers. What's fascinating here is that the Vibe Coding Master syllabus represents the total inversion of that dynamic. The machine has finally learned to speak human.
Wow.
Yeah. So this curriculum outlines a learning path where the developer's focus shifts entirely away from manual syntax generation. All of that mental energy is redirected toward high-level problem-solving and creativity.
Okay, so it's I'm trying to think of an analogy here. Is traditional coding kind of like you're out there forging your own bricks and laying them one by one?
That's a great way to picture it, actually.
And vibe coding is more like you're the architect. Like you're standing in front of this highly advanced automated factory. You don't touch the mortar at all.
Right.
You just tell the factory, hey, I need a load-bearing wall here and a modern kitchen there. And the machines just synthesize the actual materials.
The architect analogy is highly accurate for what the syllabus is trying to achieve. You are designing the system.
But I have to push back a little bit here. Does that make development too accessible? Like, does it genuinely speed up project execution, or is it just people casually chatting with AI and getting bad code?
That is the exact tension the source addresses. The architect still needs to know how a building stands up, right?
Fair point.
The factory can't read your mind. It can only execute explicit instructions. So while vibe coding removes the barrier of syntax, which, yes, makes it way more accessible for beginners, it introduces a new, really rigorous skill.
Because you can't just talk to the AI like a friend.
No, absolutely not. If you just casually chat with these tools, you are not going to get a functional, secure application. You have to engineer the conversation.
Right.
And that leads directly into the core module of their syllabus. They call it prompt engineering, and they treat it with the exact same technical severity as learning a programming language.
Instructing AI is not just typing questions into a text box.
Not at all.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because the syllabus lists this sheer variety of AI tools, and it categorizes prompting into these highly specific methodologies.
Yeah, very structured.
They mention tools like ChatGPT, Claude, and Gemini for conversational generation. Then you have code-specific environments like GitHub Copilot, Cursor AI, and Codeium.
Right, the specialized environments.
And even automation workflows like Zapier and Make, which used to be Integromat, are fully integrated into this new way of working. But how do you actually use them? Like the course teaches step-by-step and role-based prompting.
Yes. Let's break that down. If you want to build, say, a user authentication system, you don't just say build a login
And
page.
so I would just give you garbage, right?
Exactly. You assign the AI a role. You say you are a senior backend engineer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then you instruct it step by step. First, design the database schema for user credentials. Then, once you review that, you prompt it to write the API routes, then the front-end layout.
So you're basically managing the AI's workflow exactly like a project manager oversees a junior developer.
That's exactly it. And the reason you do this is context management. AI models have limited attention spans. If you ask for the whole app at once, it's going to hallucinate.
Right, it'll just make things up or write insecure code.
Precisely. By forcing the learner to decompose the problem, the syllabus is teaching them how to control the AI's focus.
Okay, but the curriculum goes even deeper into advanced techniques, right? Like few shot prompting and chain of thought prompting.
Yes, those two are critical methodologies.
I like to think of few shot prompting kind of like working with a highly skilled jazz band.
Oh, I like that. How so?
Well, if you just tell the band to, play some jazz, you have absolutely no idea what they're going to do. They might play bebop, they might play smooth jazz. That's zero shot prompting.
Right, completely unconstrained.
But if you give the band a specific chord progression, a tempo, and like a recording of the exact style of swing you want before they play, they will nail it.
The jazz band analogy perfectly captures it. In vibe coding, you provide the AI with concrete examples of the structure you expect.
Right, like two or three examples of a front-end layout or an API data format. You set the pattern and the AI mimics it.
It mimics it flawlessly. You're constraining its probabilistic generation to a specific lane, but chain of thought prompting, that is arguably even more vital for the back-end logic they teach.
How's that one work?
So say a student needs the AI to generate a complex algorithm, maybe calculating dynamic pricing for an e-commerce cart based on location and inventory.
Sounds complicated.
It is. So they do not ask for the code directly. They prompt the AI to explicitly write out its logical reasoning step by step in plain English before it generates a single line of syntax.
Oh, so you force the AI to show its work.
You force it to map the causality. Large language models just predict the next most likely token. If they jump straight into dense code, they make logical leaps, and that results in bugs.
Right, so by generating the plain English first.
It builds a structural scaffold. The subsequent code is based on that solid logic, which drastically reduces errors. Better prompts directly equal better code outputs.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But what happens when the AI still misunderstands the prompt? Because we know AI hallucinates, it confidently lies.
Oh, it certainly does.
Right, so if I'm using few shot prompting and chain of thought, and the factory still builds a door that opens directly into a brick wall, meaning the code is broken, what do I do?
You still have to fix it.
But if the whole point of this syllabus is that I don't need to know deep syntax, how do I fix a crash at 2 a.m.?
Well, the syllabus dedicates a substantial module to this exact scenario, AI-assisted debugging.
Yeah.
The whole paradigm of fixing code changes. Traditionally, you'd scour thousands of lines of JavaScript looking for a missing bracket or a flawed loop.
Yeah, it's like a nightmare.
It is. But the vibe coder uses a completely different mechanism. They capture the error log or the stack trace and feed it back into the AI environment.
Using prompts like find the bug or trace this error log.
Right.
Exactly. Or optimize this query. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the AI isn't just a repairman here. The syllabus teaches students to use the AI's explanations to understand the errors.
Oh, so it's kind of like having a bilingual translator.
How do you mean?
Like a translator who not only fixes your grammar in a foreign language when you mess up, but actually pauses to teach you the specific rule you broke.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening. The AI acts as a tutor, explaining what went wrong, which builds your logical thinking skills.
But I do have to question the reliance on this a bit.
All right.
The source mentions validating AI-generated code for, quote, accuracy and security.
Right.
If a beginner is taking this course and they have no traditional coding background, how can they accurately validate that complex AI-generated code won't, say, expose user data to hackers?
That is a very fair question. And it's where the curriculum bridges the gap between just being a casual AI user and a professional vibe coder. They teach a quality assurance mindset.
A QA mindset.
Yeah, you might not know the exact manual syntax to prevent SQL injection attack, but the course teaches you the concept of SQL injection. You understand the security principle. So your debugging process involves using the AI to audit the AI.
Wait, really? Using AI to audit AI?
Yes, meta prompting. You instruct a separate model, maybe Claude, to act as a cybersecurity auditor. You feed it the code generated by Cursor AI and prompt it to aggressively look for vulnerabilities based on those principles you learned.
Oh, wow. So you establish the conceptual framework in your own mind and then orchestrate different AI models to do the rigorous checks against that framework.
Exactly. You ask the AI why the code failed and how the new solution prevents the vulnerability. Over time, you build a highly sophisticated mental model of software architecture without ever typing the syntax manually.
So it's an active, real-time learning loop, which fundamentally changes the speed of skill acquisition.
It accelerates it tremendously.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, in the year 2026? The source outlines a very specific target audience here. Students, freelancers, and professionals looking to build websites, SaaS applications, chatbots, scalable workflows.
Right, the people actually making the products.
Why is Brawley Academy investing so heavily in training this specific type of professional right now? What's the context in 2026?
Well, the economic incentives of the tech industry have completely realigned. There's this massive demand for digital products, whether it's an internal tool for a logistics company or a startup app.
And traditional manual coders just can't keep up with that demand.
No, the demand far outpaces the supply. Businesses are prioritizing speed to market and iteration velocity. They care less about whether an engineer hand-typed every line in a custom environment.
They just want to know if it's secure, functional, and ready to deploy next week.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of next quarter, mastering vibe coding allows a single person to produce the output of an entire traditional development team.
The productivity multiplier is just staggering. It really is the democratization of software creation.
It is.
It's like if you have deep industry knowledge, say you're a supply chain expert or a financial analyst, you're no longer gated from building complex software just because you haven't spent 2 years learning Python.
You're only gated by your ability to articulate the problem and manage the AI. The role of a developer is shifting from a code writer to a system orchestrator.
Right. But we should synthesize what they say in the FAQ section, too, because they do make a crucial distinction about traditional coding.
Yes, they explicitly state that traditional coding is still useful and necessary for deeper technical knowledge.
Meaning if you're building a brand new operating system or writing the core rendering engine for a video game, you still need traditional low-level programming.
Absolutely. You have to manipulate memory allocation at the hardware level. The AI models themselves are built by traditional developers.
Right, but vibe coding is for the application layer, the software that everyday consumers actually interact with.
Exactly. The course draws a line in the sand. Infrastructure requires manual coding. Application and execution require vibe coding. It's just a pragmatic approach for those who prioritize speed and productivity.
We've covered some incredible ground today. We started by looking at how this syllabus formalizes the shift from syntax to vibes. We dove into prompt engineering, unpacking step-by-step instructions, role-based prompting, and tools like Cursor and Make.
And how chain of thought prevents logical errors.
Yes. And then we explored AI-assisted debugging, where you act as a QA manager to audit your own code. And finally, how this transforms the career landscape in 2026.
Turning everyday professionals into high-level system orchestrators, it's undeniable. The transition from manual typing to system design is happening.
It really is.
But, and this raises an important question drawing from their own admission, that traditional coding remains essential for deeper knowledge.
Yeah.
If the vast majority of the next generation of developers relies entirely on AI to generate, explain, and debug their code, what happens to our foundational understanding of software?
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. Are we building a world of brilliant architects who can spin up skyscrapers with a few paragraphs of text, but who have absolutely no idea how a brick is actually made?
That is a fascinating and honestly deeply complex thought to mull over. If the automated factory ever breaks down, do we still have the knowledge to repair the machinery?
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. To everyone listening, keep questioning the tools you use, keep exploring the mechanics behind the interface, and most importantly, keep learning. We'll see you next time.